Jesus lead you. Shine the sorrow and the woe. It will joy and comfort fill you. Take it then wherever you go.
You are listening to SoundDoctrine.net. Ministry of Agape Chapel Ministries. Hi, this is Pastor Nick. The following message is on MP3 format and it is not copyrighted. You can download to your computer and burn CDs. We encourage you to bookmark sounddoctrine.net as you can download hundreds of free MP3 sermons, booklets and articles for God's glory and for your growth. And now, here is today's Lord's Day sermon.
The sermon that I'm going to preach today is called Eternal Torments of Hell. Eternal Torments of Hell. So the sermon that I'm going to give today is Eternal Torments of Hell. And I'm going to take the text, Luke 16 verse 22, for I am tormented in this flame. For I am tormented in this flame. Now, first of all, hell is a real place. The devil is very clever in keeping this subject shut from the pulpits, shut from the churches, shut from the ears of people, so they will not hear. The devil is very clever in making jokes out of hell, as if it does not exist. However, hell is a real place. The final authority is the Word of God. This is the final authority. Okay? It's not tradition. It's not what people say. There has to be some absolute, what is right and what is wrong. The absolute or the final authority is the Word of God. And Jesus spoke a lot on hell. Sometimes more than heaven, Jesus spoke a lot on hell. So we should speak on hell. Because it is important, if Jesus spoke more on hell, how much more we should. There are false teachers and worldly churches that will not talk about hell. They will, you know, they will never teach on the torments of hell. Now, some of the questions is, if God is love, if God is compassionate, why there is hell? Why would a loving God send people to hell? This is a very uncomfortable subject to many. Hell is an eternal place and we need to expose hell. In Matthew chapter 25 verse 46, Jesus said, "And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal." Now, some people, they don't believe in hell. Some people say they believe in annihilation. But the Bible never talks about eternal annihilation, but eternal punishment. Hell is not a place of temporal punishment, but it's a place of eternal punishment. Eternal means it never ends. Now, what is the greatest commandment that Jesus gave us to obey? The greatest commandment, Jesus said, is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. Now, we have to remember before we come to God, why God sends people to hell. Why there is a hell if God is loving. We need to understand first that God is infinitely worthy of love. God is infinitely worthy of love. And Jesus said, love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. And God is infinitely worthy of honor. And God is infinitely worthy of obedience. God who created us, we have an obligation to love Him, to honor Him, and to obey Him. God is infinitely glorious, and He is infinitely glorious, His majesty. And if we don't love Him, if we don't honor Him, if we don't obey Him, it's a sin against an infinite God. Because then it's a sin against an infinite God, and it's an infinite sin. And that sin is an infinite sin. Any sin is an infinite evil against the Holy God, and that deserves a punishment. And it deserves a punishment, and the punishment has to be infinite. Because God Himself is infinitely glorious, majesty, honorable, love, and we have an obligation to love Him, everything what we have. And any sin is an infinite sin against an infinite holy God. Now, that means the punishment should be infinite. If we sin against somebody here on earth, the punishment is limited because everything goes according to time. All right? But in heaven, there is no time. God doesn't go through a watch. God doesn't have a time. We are talking about an infinite God. And the sin is an infinite crime against God. Just give you an example. When Adam and Eve sinned, what was the sin? God told Adam not to eat the fruit. That is the forbidden fruit. Right? Adam ate it. You think that's a little, tiny little sin? That's an infinite crime. No, just because of that, what happened? Death came to all the people on the earth. Hell was there because of disobedience. Little thing that we think is an infinite crime against God. Now, God of the New Testament, a lot of people think the Old Testament God is really mean and very severe when it comes to punishment, but the New Testament God is so loving. Okay? God of the New Testament, Bible, is not separated into two. You don't have two books when you come to church. In the same way, there are no two gods. Okay? God of the New Testament is also the God of the Old Testament. And God will not compromise with sin, or He will not wink at sin. He will not allow the guilty to go clear. God drowned the inhabitants of all the earth during the time of Noah, except Noah and his family. Just imagine, God drowned everybody. Why? Because of sin. And at the same time, God poured fire and brimstone and killed the inhabitants of Sodom and Gomorrah, except Lot and his children. God did not change His nature when it comes to the New Testament. Because in Malachi 3:6 says, "For I am the Lord, I change not." Today, many are living in sin, enjoying the pleasures of sin. They are storing sin, and they are accumulating sin daily. And any time, God's wrath can fall upon them, because God is not going to clear them not guilty. Because it's the same God in the Old Testament, it's the same God in the New Testament. And God's righteousness and justice requires punishment. Example, I have given this before. If there's a judge today in this earth, and he's going to say, "Well, I'm a very loving judge, I'm so good, I will allow all the criminals in the jails to go free." Is that a good righteous judge? Is that good justice? Absolutely not. A good judge will punish the sinners. And God is a righteous judge. He will make justice as righteous. Exodus 34:7 says, "Keeping steadfast love for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, but who will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children and the children's children to the third and the fourth generation. If God will not punish the sinners, then it is contrary to His nature. God will not compromise His justice. He is never going to compromise His justice. He is not going to take a bribe from us. He's not going to do, he's a God who cannot be mocked. He's an infinitely holy God. He exercises His sovereignty according to His will. God hates sin infinitely, and He will execute punishment on sin. Ezekiel chapter 22 verse 21 says, I will gather you and blow you with the fire of my wrath, and you shall be melted in the midst of it. As silver is melted in a furnace, so shall you be melted in the midst of it. And you shall know that I am the Lord, I have poured out my wrath upon you. The Bible talks a lot about God's love. At the same time, the Bible talks about a lot about God's wrath. Okay, this is where we need to see how fierce His wrath is going to be. Just like silver is melted in the fire, God says you are going to be melted in the fire just like that if you are living in sin. Scriptures, you might ask, what about those people who had never heard the gospel? The scripture speaks of different degrees of punishment. I can give the answer only what the scriptures say. Okay? The scriptures say salvation is only through Jesus Christ. That's it. As if, no matter who, if they don't have Jesus Christ, there is no salvation. Alright? That's why we are called to go and witness to all the people. So the scripture speaks of different degrees of punishment. People who never knew the word of God, the punishment is going to be a lesser degree. But the people who attended church and knew the word of God, but played games with God, never loved God from the bottom of their hearts, but they continue in their greed and selfishness and pride. They had all the rituals, the traditions and the religions, the outward performance, but never had an intimate relationship with God. Their punishment is going to be severe. Now Jesus was at the very present. When Jesus came, He was in the very midst of the people. And there are a lot of people who were sinners, like the murderers, the tax collectors, the prostitutes, and they were totally sinners. They saw their sinful nature in the light of a holy Jesus, and they repented. Okay, and there were others who were very righteous. They think that they were very holy. They thought that they haven't sinned against God. And you know what Jesus told them? You can see that Jesus said the punishment is going to be more severe to you who heard the word of God. This is what Jesus said in Matthew 11:24. I'm going to speak here, actually 11, starting from 21. Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I'll tell you, it will be more bearable on the day of judgment for Tyre and Sidon than for you. And you, Capernaum, will you be exalted to heaven? You will be brought down to Hades. For if the mighty works done in Sodom, it would have been remained until this day. But I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable than the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for thee. What was the judgment in Sodom? Fire and brimstone came. And Jesus saying, the judgment that is going to come to you is going to be more severe than Sodom and Gomorrah. Because you saw my works, you saw me, yet you did not repent. In Luke chapter 12, verse 48, Jesus said, but he that knew not did commit things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes. For unto whomsoever much is given, of much will be required. And to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask more. Now here, if what Jesus is saying here, for people who knew him not, the punishment is going to be less. But the people who knew, the punishment is going to be severe. Those who are preaching false doctrines from the pulpit, the punishment is going to be severe. Those who are teaching compromising sin, softening down sin, toning down sin, the punishment is going to be severe. Those who are teaching the right stuff, those who are teaching the right doctrine, but yet living a life of hypocrisy, not setting an example to the others, the punishment is going to be severe. That's why James said in James 3:1, not many of you should become teachers. My brothers, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. Well, when I come to this pulpit, I come with trembling and fear because I want to teach the right thing, nothing but the Word of God. Hell is a real place where there will be weeping, wailing, gnashing of teeth. Luke chapter 13 verse 28 says, Luke 13:28 says, in that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth when you see Abraham and Isaac, Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God. You yourself will be cast out. That hell is a place where you will be alive. You will feel it. You will be alive. And you will have a knowledge of your sins in hell. And I'm going to take a little story here. It's not a parable. It's a real thing that happened. Because in parables, Jesus never gave names of people in parables. Okay? And this is a true story that happened. If you turn with me to Luke chapter 16, verse 20. Luke chapter 16, verse 20. And I'm going to read it. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores. Luke 16:20. Verse 21 says, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeing Abraham far off and Lazarus in his bosom, he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime received thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. See, he's the rich man who is tormented in hell. And what is he saying? He's saying, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. That's the only time a lot of people cry out for mercy. And say, let Abraham, let him bring just a drop of water on his fingertip. Why? To cool his tongue, because he's tormented in this flame. You know, a lot of people, they don't ask for God's mercy because they don't have a desire to ask God's mercy, because they are living a very comfortable life. because a lot of people, they have all their needs, they are sitting very comfortably, they are satisfied in their needs, so they don't cry out for God's mercy. So they will not strive to pray, they will not strive to enter through the narrow gate, because their bellies are full and their flesh is comforted. Only time when they ask for mercy is when something happens, when something deep happens, when a problem comes, when something really happens in front of their life and some real situation comes as a huge problem, that's the time they will ask God's mercy. Only when they are in deep trouble, that's the only time they will think of God. That's the only time they will go to the Bible and read it seriously. That's the only time they will pray to God seriously. But now, they are sitting very comfortable. They are driving on the broad road. Jesus said, many will take the broad road that leads unto destruction. Because the life is wonderful there. And they are enjoying the pleasures and the entertainments and no love to God at all. They have love for other things, material things, idolatry, you know, and their love is for some other things. So it's all idolatrous love. It may be a house that they love more. It may be a car that they love more. It may be their homes or their wives or their husbands. They love more than Jesus Christ. If you love anything more than Jesus Christ, that's an idolatry. And they have no honor and love for God because they love and honor themselves with pride. No time for God. No fear for God. However, time will come. Mark my lips. Time will come. Suddenly, God is going to pour out His wrath, and then they will cry out for mercy, like this man in hell. They will cry out for mercy to God, but God is going to laugh at them. Yeah, God is going to laugh at them. God is not going to answer the prayers. Proverbs chapter 1 verse 26 says, I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear comes. When your fear comes as a desolation and your destruction comes as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you, they shall call upon me, but I will not answer. They will seek me early, but they shall not find me. For they hated knowledge and they did not choose the fear of the Lord. They did not choose the fear of the Lord. People are living fearlessly before God. They are sinning fearlessly before God. Because they are you know why they don't have fear? Because their lives are focused on this earth, not on God. Only with their lips they will say, I love God. But their lives will say something else. Their goal is not to please God, but for happiness and comfort on this earth. They live to please their flesh. Mercy comes only when there is danger, they will ask mercy. Only when they wake up in hell, like this man, they will cry out for mercy. Then it's too late. It's too late. And the rich man is saying in hell, Saint Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. He's not asking for a pail of water to dump on him. Just a tip. Just a little drop of water in the tip of his finger to cool his tongue. Notice the agony and the torment in the fire. Today, on a hot day like this, many will desire an ice soda, a cool ice soda, or an ice water. My friend, there are no refrigerators in hell. There are no ice water in hell. There is no fire department in hell. There are no hospitals in hell. Not even a drop of water is there in hell. And the man is saying, give me even just a little drop in the tip of your finger to cool my tongue, because it is all agony. In the fire, tormented forever and ever. Now today, many are living according to their carnal desires. They want to satisfy the flesh, right? They want to satisfy the flesh. This flesh wants to be satisfied. The flesh rules in their lives, not the Spirit of God. See, the members in this flesh, okay? All the members in this flesh is going to suffer in hell. Flesh will be tormented. Now you are living to please your flesh, but in hell your flesh will be tormented. Luke chapter 12 verse 5, Jesus said, but I will forewarn you whom you shall fear. Fear him after which he had killed, had power to cast into hell. Jesus said, I say unto him, fear him. Jesus said, God has the power to cast you into hell, and fear him. And the carnal flesh, as I said, is comforted now. The carnal flesh is always seeking for its pleasure, the enjoyments, the flesh. But the same flesh is going to be the same flesh that sin against God will be tormented in flame forever. Many will seek earnestly to cool their tongue with a drop of water. You know, why the tongue? Why is that cool the tongue? Why in hell he's crying out and say, just bring me just a drop on your fingertip to cool my tongue? Why the tongue? Why he didn't say the head or the heart or the feet or anything else? Why the tongue? Yes, on this earth, the tongue that spoke boastfully. On this earth, the tongue that spoke, the tongue that compromised sin. The tongue that uttered prideful words. The tongue that put people down. The tongue that slandered. The tongue that was so busy in gossiping. The tongue that lied. The tongue that cursed God. The tongue that uttered words of greediness. The tongue that uttered the words of covetousness. The tongue that uttered words of selfishness. The tongue that deceived and tricked people to profit your life. The tongue that showed no pity on the needy. The tongue that uttered words of anger and wrath. The tongue that cursed God. The tongue that uttered filthy jokes. The tongue that hurt other people. Yes, it is an unholy tongue when we can go on and on and on with this member that sinned more than any other member of our body. And that member is going to be tormented. Yeah. When you eat something spicy, hot, you're looking for some water. Well, this is not going to be temporary. It is an eternal punishment of the tongue. And you'll be looking even a drop of water. In hell, the whole body is tormented, but above all, it would be the tongue. The tongue is a master of sin. The tongue is a flattering, boastful, prideful. Psalm 12 verse 3 said, may the Lord cut off all flattering lips, the tongue that makes great boast. Those who say with our tongue, we will prevail. For our lips are with us. Who is master over us? Jesus said, in Matthew chapter 12, verse 36, Jesus said, but I say unto you, that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account in the day of judgment. Yeah. When the rich man cried out, to Abraham and said he is tormented, asking for a drop of water to cool his tongue. What was the answer of Abraham? Abraham said, this is the answer. Abraham said, son, remember that thou in thy lifetime received thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, meaning difficult things. But now Lazarus is comforted, and thou art tormented. Now, Abraham did not give a solution to the man who is suffering in hell. There is not a solution. But what did he say? He brought remembrance. He said, remember when you were on earth, you were comforted. Remembrance was brought in the sight of him, of remembrance of all the good things that you had. This remembrance is going to be a torment to the people in hell. And I'm going to show why. I'm going to show how. The answer is remember, instead of giving a relief of the pain and agony. Fresh recollections of the comfortable, enjoyable, pleasing earthly life was brought in remembrance. You know, God gave us everything. It is everything is given by God. Remember, it was the Lord who gives you a job. It is the Lord that who gives a brain for you to think. It is the Lord that provided our needs. And you did not honor God for what He is given. You did not love God. God created you, but you never loved Him. You did not obey God. Your focus was not on God, but on earthly things, worldly things. Remember how much you spent on your worldly happiness, on your fleshly happiness. You did not have time for the Lord. You had time for everything else, but you did not have time for the Lord. Remember how God sent His holy servants and preached to you the Word of God. But the Word of God that was preached by choke, by worldly cares, worldly pleasures, and you forgot the Word of God immediately. Oh my friend, this is the worst torture. This is the worst torment they are going to experience, because you will be tortured of this remembrance, not for a little while, but forever and ever you will remember these things. For eternity you will remember these things. What a misery is this? This is eternal torment. When you are in hell, it is for eternity. But the life on this earth is just a moment. It's just a moment. Job chapter 20 verse 5, the word of God says that the triumphing of the wicked is short, and the joy of the hypocrite is only but a moment. And Job 21 verse 13 says, they spend their days in wealth, and in a moment they go down to the grave. They spend their lives in enjoyment, in wealth, but in a moment they go down to hell. That means this life we live on this earth is only like a dream. You enjoy, when you compare to eternity, you enjoy the earthly pleasures for a moment. You spend so much time and labor for material things. You labor diligently on this earth. You work hard making your homes beautiful, and work hard so much for other things, but you did not have time for the Lord. You coveted after material things of this world, but when something better comes, you sell them. You don't want them anymore. When the TV advertises something better, you throw them away, because you want to covet more and more. Because you are never content in what you have, and coveting for more and more. That means thirsting. Huh? thirsting for more and more and more. But now in hell, you will be thirsting only for one drop of water. Yeah. On this earth, you'll be thirsting for more and more for your flesh. But in hell, you'll be thirsting for one drop of water to cool your tongue. It's agony. Remember how you focus on earthly things so much. In Job chapter 20, verse 26 says, utter darkness is laid up for his treasures. A fire, not fan, will devour him. What is left in his tent will be consumed. Meaning, what is left in his house will be consumed. The heavens will reveal his iniquity and the earth will rise up against him. The possessions of his house will be carried away, dragged off in the day of God's wrath. This is the wicked man's portion from God, the heritage decreed for him by God. Jesus said of another parable here, of the rich fool, you know. So rich man, but a lot of people who are very rich, they think they are pretty bright. That's how they got rich. But when it comes to spirituality, they are really fools. Here is a rich fool in Luke chapter 12, verse 17. And this man, he thought of himself. He said, what shall I do? For I have nowhere to store my crops. And he said, I will do this. I will tear down my barns. I will tear down my barns, build larger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, take it easy, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, fool, this night your soul is required of you. And the things you have prepared for whose will they be? You know, people live as if they are going to live forever. They don't think that they are going to die. They build their heaven on this earth. They are not seeking the kingdom of God. Your thirst for the other things of this earth is so much that you have no time. So you are thinking, well, I will do this, I will do that, and your thoughts are going here, there, you're planning these many things, what you're going to do on this earth. Because you're trying to make, you want to make more money and more money, and your business wants to get bigger and bigger. Your goal is to, at the end, your goal is to relax in comfort. So you will eat well, stay well, and stay healthy, and be merry and happy. Yes, this is the thirst for life. But in hell, you will be thirsty. You will be thirsty as you are agonizing in hell, in the fire. You will be thirsty as you are tormented in hell forever. You will be thirsty just for a drop of water. Seek ye the first, the kingdom of God. Matthew 6:33. Seek ye the first, the kingdom of God. You'll be given, you know, you are given warning after warning, but your heart has been, you have hardened your heart with pride. Now, you are humble in hell. You are not humble in on this earth, but the word of God came week after week, warning after warning, the word of God came, but you don't want to humble your heart. But you will be humble in hell. Forever you will be humble. Forever you will be asking for mercy. Forever you will be asking for repentance. But there is no more repentance, no more mercy from God. While the true Christians are humble here on this earth, and for a moment only they live, but they will be exalted. And they will be living in, they will be living in humbleness in this earth just for a while, but they will be greatly comforted for eternity in heaven. Remember how you behave rebelliously against the Lord. This is what Abraham said. Remember how about the good things you had. So I'm going to bring to remembrance. Remember how you behave rebelliously before against God. You will remember these things in hell. Remember how carelessly you live on the earth. Remember your home so comfortable. Remember your refrigerator was in abundance of food. However, you neglected the poor. Ezekiel chapter 16 verse 49. The word of God says, Ezekiel 16:49, behold, this was the iniquity of thy sister Sodom. Why did God destroy Sodom? God's word is going to say, because of pride. Ezekiel 16:49, this is the iniquity of thy sister Sodom. Pride, fullness of bread, too much food, abundance of idleness was in her and her daughters, neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and the needy. She had abundance of food, but did not give a hand to the poor people. In Matthew chapter 25, verse 42, Jesus said, I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me. Then they also will answer, saying, Lord, we didn't see you hungry, or thirsty, or a stranger, or naked, or sick in prison. Then he will answer and say, truly I say to you, as you did not do it to one of these, one of the least of these, you did not do it for me. And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. Now remember how you spent your time, and you did not have time for the Lord. You did not have your first love for the Lord. Remember? But the 1 Corinthians chapter 16 verse 22 says, if any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema. The word anathema, it's a Greek word, mean God's curse will fall upon that person. Divine curse. If you don't have the love of God in you, number one thing to have is that you should love Christ more than anybody else. Good example. God told Abraham. Abraham waited for years and years for a son. After so many years of waiting, God gave him a son. Then God told Abraham, I want you to go and sacrifice your son, whom you love most. Abraham went to sacrifice his own son because he loved God more than his son. Just imagine, your own son that waited for so long and you want to sacrifice. My question is, can you sacrifice the things that you love most and give it to the poor? Or can you, the most things you love, can you burn them for the sake of the Lord? Can you? Yeah. If not, you're living in idolatry. May remember, on earth you sinned many times, and it was so easy for you to forget your sins. There was no conviction of sin. You never cried out to God in mercy. And now you remember those sins in hell forever. In hell, everything is brought into remembrance, but in the world, all your sins you just forgot. There was no conviction at all. You never cried out to God in repentance and fall at His feet. Never. Because it didn't feel even anything in you. Because you know what? You love your sins and the lusts of the sins more than the Lord Jesus Christ. And you continue to sin. Remember how you love the traditions more than the Word of God. Remember how you love the church more than the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember how you bow down to the saints and the images and the idols with the more than the obedience of Christ, because bowing down to saints and the idols is an abomination to God. Because the word of God says no. Remember how you took God's name in vain. Yeah, you will remember all these things in hell. You will not remember after this sermon everything, but remember, everything in hell will be brought into remembrance. Remember how you cursed God and spoke evil against your pastor and your Christian friends. Remember how you hated the true Christians. You mocked at them. You persecuted them. Remember, on this earth you were rebuked, you were corrected, encouraged to read and to study and to meditate the Word of God. Remember, you were encouraged to have fellowship with God and serving God. Remember how you forgot the spiritual things that was told, because you're busy at work. More time was spent for other things. You are busy at work. You are busy at home. You are busy doing other things, the worldly things. You are busy shopping. You are busy watching TV. You are busy doing all the other things more than the Word of God. So you forgot. But in hell, you will remember. Everything will come into your remembrance. Remember, God was the last priority in your life on earth. You had time for all the other things. Only in the night when you go to sleep, you are scared that you will not wake up and you just say a prayer and go to sleep. Because God was the last priority, not the first priority. The world was the first priority. You were warned repeatedly, but you never took it seriously. Remember. Yeah, remember. In hell, the time is past. There is no time in hell. Just like in heaven, there is no time. In hell, there is no time. You can never, ever repent in hell. It is agony of torment forever and ever. For eternity, you will remember all these things forever and ever. All the past warnings, all the opportunities that came in you, and you will remember forever. And that is a torment, because you cannot do anything. Now, I'd like to show you the brighter side. If you are a true believer in Christ Jesus, taking the narrow road daily, you are born of the Spirit from above, and you have a new heart and a new nature, and you are living for Christ. While you live on this earth, you are living for God. You are living for Christ. And you are looking for Christ to come. Jesus becomes your portion, and Jesus becomes your treasure. And you have an intimate love relationship with Christ, and you hate sin. And when sin comes, you want to run away from sin. And daily you run to the cross of Christ. The cunning devil, Satan, will come still fighting and saying of unbelief things of you, you had to say goodbye to them. Because once your short life on this earth is ended, when you die, God Himself wipe away your tears. And there is no more death, no more sorrow in heaven. Wow! On earth, you experience the sufferings for the Lord because you sacrifice. When you saw those greedy, passion, covetousness things came, and you say, no! I'm not falling to those temptations. And everybody is having all around you is growing in all the wealth and everything. And you say, no. And I'm going to suffer for God. I'm going to be godly. And everybody is going to be ungodly. I will not go according to the course of the world. On earth, you experience the sufferings for the Lord. You are poor in wealth. You are content what you had. Even if you're rich in wealth, you want to give that to the poor people. And you want to take care of the poor. and you were content in what you had. You sacrificed your comfort for the poor. You ran away from sin. Yes, sometimes you fell into deep sin because we are not perfect, are we? Sometimes you fell into deep sin. And you, when you fell into deep sin, you could not sleep the night because of sin. And you were deeply convicted of your sin. And you cried to God many times and asked Him pardon for your sins. And our blessed Savior pardoned you. That's the good for the Christian. Our blessed, because you cried to God in true mercy, in true repentance, in godly repentance, and He pardoned you. Now you are comforted in heaven. You lived a life of suffering on this earth. Now you have but just for a short time you live a life of sacrificial sufferings on this earth. But in heaven, you are going to live in a mansion for eternity. Jesus said, if I go, I am going to prepare a mansion for you. It's not a place where man has made a house. It's a place where God Himself has played a room for you. You walk on the dirty, polluted streets on this earth for a short while, but on heaven, you will be walking the streets of gold. Yes, beloved, heaven is not a vacation. Heaven is not a vacation. It's not for a short time that you go on vacation here, go over there and come back and say, my vacation is gone. Oh, I wish I had more time for my vacation. Heaven is not a short vacation. Heaven is for eternity. Praise God. Heaven is for eternity. So, hell is for eternity. However, the rich man said, for I am tormented in this flame. Hell is a place of torment with flames of fire. It is called where their worm died not and the fire is not quenched. Mark 9:44. Hell is a place where the worm will not die and the fire is not quenched. It is called an oven. Hell is called an oven. Malachi 4:1 says, for behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven. And all the proud, yea, and all those do wickedly shall be stubble. And the day that cometh shall burn them up, says the Lord of hosts. It shall leave them neither root nor branch. Also, hell is called a furnace of fire. In Matthew 13:50, it says, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Hell is called an unquenchable fire. Matthew 3:12 says, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, but will be burned up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Hell is called a fire and brimstone and a lake of fire. Revelation 21:8 says, but the fearful, the unbelieving, the abominable, and the murderers, the warmongers, and the sorcerers. Sorcerers are people who are into witchcraft, into astrology, into palm reading, and all these things. And idolaters. Idolaters is anybody who loves anything else than the Lord Jesus Christ. And all liars shall have their part in the lake which burn with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Here we see the anger, the fierce wrath of God in full power in hell, as God has poured His full wrath, His fury in total power in hell, because people lived on this earth in disobedience. At the Pentecost, when Peter preached that sermon, how they crucified Christ the Lord, many were cut to the heart. And they asked, this is what they asked Peter, Men and brethren, what shall we do? When you are cut to the heart and you know that you have sinned against God, you deserve the wrath of God. Men ask Peter, what shall we do? What shall we do so that we will flee from the wrath to come? What shall we do that we will flee from hell? What shall we do that we will not go to hell? The Philippian jailer fell before Paul and asked, what must I do to be saved? The answer is godly repentance. It's not a superficial repentance, but true heart repentance. Truly repent before God with all your sins, not holding any of your pet sins. Yes, don't hold any of your darling pet sins. Cry unto God for mercy on this earth now while you have time. Instead of judgment, mercy will come to you. So God's fierce wrath and the fires of hell will not come upon you when you will truly repent and ask mercy before God. Flee from sin, and after you repent, remember the woman who caught up in the very act of adultery. Jesus said to the people who brought them, he who has no sin cast the first stone. And everybody went away because everybody sinned. What did Jesus say to the woman? Woman, you are forgiven, but do not sin anymore. So once you truly repent, you don't go back to your old sins anymore. Flee from sin. Run to the bosom of our blessed Lord and our Savior, and He will comfort you. Remember, the rich man wanted just a drop of water to cool his tongue because of the agony of the fire, because he was thirsting. He was thirsting for one drop of water. Remember, Jesus also, at the cross, when he was crucified at the cross, he bore the fierce wrath of God. Was poured, fierce wrath of God, the fury of God was poured on holy Jesus. And what did Jesus say? I thirst. Yeah, that's what happened. When the whole wrath of God came on Jesus, he said, just like that man in hell, Jesus also went through hell on this earth. And he said, I thirst. If you truly repented of your sins and turned to Christ instead of your flesh and the world, Christ bore the fierce wrath of God. And He became the substitute for our sins. As Jesus said, I thirst. Meaning, if you truly repent and turn to God, Jesus took your place. You don't have to go to hell anymore. You don't have to be in hell anymore. You will never experience in hell anymore. Because Jesus himself said, I thirst. He bore the wrath of God. Then Christ, he uttered his last word on the cross, said, after he said, I thirst, he said, it is finished. Oh, what a triumphant word is that. It is finished. Yes, beloved, Christ accomplished salvation from the wrath of God. Christ accomplished salvation that is going to come. Jesus Christ did it. He did it. Jesus saves. He is the Savior, which is He came to save the sinners from the wrath that is going to come. He is the bleeding, dying, rising Savior, and He is the only hope to the sinner, Jesus Christ. And if you hear His voice, and if you hear God's voice speaking to your heart, do not harden your heart. Because the Bible says today is the day of salvation. If you come to the foot of the cross of Jesus, unload all your sins at the foot of the cross, and Jesus will dump those sins at the bottom of the sea. In John, we are talking agony, water, thirst. In John chapter 3, verse 37, Jesus said, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." Oh, what a blessing is that. If you put your commitment on Jesus Christ, if you trust in Him for the rest of your life, and believe in Him, trust Him, and follow Him, not yourself, not the world, crucify all the sins, and trust in Jesus, He, Jesus, has quenched the fires of hell. Instead of that, rivers of living water will flow from a new heart. Amen. Let's pray.
This is Pastor Nick, and we hope today's sermon was a blessing to your soul. We truly covet your prayers, and until we meet again, may the Lord richly bless your soul with the richness of His Word. Precious.